It's always kind of a little bit of a daunting task when you're given the opportunity to speak. What do you speak on? I think that's, you're asked, hey, would you be willing to, the Rhodes family is away, join some time together here with their kids, kind of works all for fall break, and Pastor Paul asked me if I'd be willing to step up, and I said absolutely. Then begins the task of, well, what to preach on, and those that have stood up here and had the opportunity to do that, there's a little bit of a dauntiness to that and trying to figure out, well, what do I speak on? And I think we kind of view this a little bit, I do, almost like preparing a meal for the family. And so I kind of look back and, well, what did we eat last week? Let's not make that again. We did the chili thing. I'm not going to make chili again. Or man, all we've been eating this week is chicken. Let's do something with pork. And so I think some of that, you sort of look back and figure out, or do I just make my favorite? I know I can nail a couple meals here. Do I just try to prepare one of those? And we could certainly do that. There's a million different ways of coming at that angle. And what I found is that I like to give a message on where the Lord has me right now. And so I just want to be clear. This message is as much to do with what God is going on and doing in my life as it is for you. So I don't want this being received as a message of just projection and trying to be an antagonist, okay? I can fit that role very well. In fact, it's a joy for me to stir other people. I kind of get a charge out of that. And so that's a natural draw for me. Don't receive that as that this morning. Even if you are stirred a little bit, I want you to hear the heart behind this morning. This is much to do with what God's got going on in my life, as I hope he does in yours. When you consider the body that you're speaking in front of, again, being in a small congregation, I know many of you well, and I know many of the families well, and backstories and whatnot. And so I take the liberty in preaching a message that's geared toward already professing believers. Okay, I don't want this missed, that the gospel's not being presented this morning. I look around and I'm pretty confident that we've heard the basic fundamentals and principles of the oracles of the kingdom of God explained here. And so I'm presuming upon that a little bit, all right? And I think then the challenge becomes to, what do you say to a bunch of people who've already heard it all? I think there's not a message I don't think in some way, shape, or form that you guys haven't heard prepared for you. And so I begin to think about that. And in accepting the terms to speak throughout the week, I had a message that was spoken into me that just grabbed me by the heart. I said, aha, I know exactly what we're going to be speaking on today. So if you want, let's turn our Bibles. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5, 11. Just a little bit of a continuing setting the table here with this. As I shared in, I think, the last the Christmas service that I did, there seems to be sometimes, at some point in our life, we run into the danger of casualness with the Word of God. It becomes kind of as an old familiar friend. And sometimes I think the biggest hurdle, at least the hurdle in my life, is coming through verses that you've read before and just realize, I'm not stirred by that. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can enter into a danger zone with that. And I look at what I believe God is calling and drawing this church right now I can't help but to feel he's calling us in some deeper waters. He's calling us into areas of unfamiliarity and uncomfortableness. He's calling us deeper. He's wanting to stir in us. And I'm not so sure we're all together in that. And I think as I've heard the messages that Paul has preached in the past few weeks, which I just believe have been dynamic, for some reason I feel a little bit of an unsettledness in my spirit that we're not all there yet. Where it's like we've come up to run a race, and some of us have hit the block and kind of taken off, and some of us are still approaching the line. And maybe in a sense like an inchworm, I'm just kind of the guy in the middle going, okay, let's hold on a second. We kind of want to draw everybody in. So I know there's a group of us that is stirred, and maybe there's a group of us that's just, we're not there yet. We want to be there. And so maybe that's where this hits you this morning. So we're going to be reading out of Hebrews 5:11. It says, concerning him, and this is Melchizedek, it says, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Let's just bow our heads for a second. Father God, I call upon your name. We call upon your spirit again to just move, God. I pray that your word is unleashed. Lord, as we prayed this morning, God, I pray that the power of your word, Father, divides soul and spirit this morning. God, I pray that you draw us out of areas, God, that we just don't have the permission to walk in right now. I pray, Father God, that you would use your word again to strike a hearing in our ears, God. I pray that you would quicken ears right now to hear. And I pray, Father God, that you would churn the soil of our hearts, God, to receive it. God, that it may be planted in you. And Father, bring forth a harvest of righteousness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Hebrews, just a little bit of a recap, maybe for some that aren't as familiar with it. I love it. Coming from a kind of a personal training background, it speaks to me like I like to speak to people. It was a little bit in your face. It's a little bit raw. It's a little, come on, let's go. Let's not slow down now. Now's not the time to give up. Let's push ahead. Some people have called it, and oftentimes is referred to, the book of perseverance, the perseverance of the saints. It's funny, depending on, you know, what type of theology you lean on, there's probably one camp that would love to throw the book of Hebrews out, and you could just make your case firm. And, you know, and the other one that just only camps in the book of Hebrews and wishes maybe Romans wouldn't be there. So you can kind of chuckle if you get that. If not, it's all right. But I feel like Hebrews is really that book that just drives us. All right. And when you look at it in its context, I think it really speaks to where we're at today. Dr. Walter Martin, the founder of the Christian Research Institute, sort of tongue-in-cheek, says the book of Hebrews was written by a Hebrew to other Hebrews, telling the Hebrews to stop acting like Hebrews. So that kind of sums it all up and gives you an idea of what it's all about, that right there. But if you look at it in the context of it, it was a group of Jewish Christians professing Christ that had just been continuing to just be persecuted by their own kind, but by the life they came out of, a life of Judaism. A life of works, a life that was just marred down with chains, with rules and governances, they're falling back into this old way of life. They're falling back into what they were delivered from, and I just think, man, if that's not the culture we're living in, I know many of us. You know, it's funny when the Lord saves us. He doesn't remove us from the city we're living in and put us somewhere else. He often just saves us right where you're at. You're in the same job. You're the same vocation. You're living in the same city, meeting the same group of people. Okay? And now he's like, that's it. Be the light now. And I just think if we're not careful, if we're not guarded, I think we can just be influenced by the surrounding pressures to just come on back. Hey, look, that's fine. But look, let's just keep the peace here. All right, you don't have to be preaching at me all day long. Just come on back. Just come on back. I think it gets wearisome to stand for something all the time. Isn't it just kind of easier? At some point, we have to agree just to go with the flow. It's just easier to do that. And the book of Hebrews warns against that. And if we just do a quick build out leading up to our verse today, we can see all of the warnings beforehand. Just quickly, Hebrews 2:1 says, pay close attention lest you fall away. Hebrews 3:1, consider Jesus the high priest of our confession. Hebrews 3:8, don't harden your hearts like Israel did in the wilderness. 3:12, take care lest there be in any of you an unbelieving heart that leads you to fall away. 4:1, have fear lest any of you should fail to enter his rest. 4:11, be diligent to enter that rest so that no one might fall by following the same example of disobedience. 4:14, hold fast to your confession. Are we catching anything there? There's some admonishing going on. There's some warning. There's a rebuke going on. Saying, hey, look, I know what's going on. And I'm warning you. Man, to keep trudging down that path. Man, there's some of you that are going to fear to enter his rest. And I just look at where we're at today. And I can't help but be moved by these warnings. Pay attention. Consider Jesus. Don't be hardened. Take care. Have fear. Be diligent. Hold fast. A lot there. So what's going on? What's happened? I think if we look in 5 verse 11, we see it. It says, concerning him, and this is the priest Melchizedek, he's a type of Christ, all right? Typology, there's all sorts of Christology, there's all sorts of, you know, theologies that are understanding that, doctrines that understand that. He says, we have much to say about that, but yet it is hard to explain to you since you have become dull of hearing. Can almost feel the disappointment in his voice. He's like, man, we've got so much to talk to you about. We've got so many issues of doctrine to discuss. We've got some deep things we would love to get into, but I can't even share that with you. We can't even chew on that. It's just not ready. You're not even there. You become dull of hearing. And the question this morning that I have to ask is, do we have this condition right now? The condition of dullness of hearing. With all the preachings, the teachings, all the small groups, all the Bible studies, all the conferences, all the reading assignments that are going on, have our senses become dull to the Word of God? Does it not excite us? Does it not stir in us? Has it become muzak? You hardly even know what's going on. Somebody coming up and saying, I love this song. You're like, what? Oh, I didn't even know there was music going on. Have our ears become dull this morning? And let's just take a minute here, and we're going to try to dig out a little bit of a better understanding of this term dull of hearing. It's interesting that each one of these words occurs exactly one other time in the book of Hebrews. And so I think it's a good idea to turn to those chapters and see how those verses expose that. If we turn to chapter 6:11, are the slides working? Are they able to follow through? chapter 6, 11. So we see the word dullness used here. It says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not become sluggish. That's the same word in the Greek used for dull, sluggish. So that you will not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Sluggish. What comes to mind when you hear that word? Slow, lazy, unresponsive, passive. Is that our hearing this morning? It's just a dullness. You read the word and it's almost like you're bored with it. Man, what a danger. What a danger. So we see that the word dull refers to a posture of hearing that is insensitive or cold and unfeeling towards the word of God. It simply hears in the physical sense, but spiritually it cannot realize what it says. It cannot realize or understand the assurance of hope. And it does not and cannot imitate the faith of those who inherit the promises. Sluggish. It's dull. This was the warning of the Christians at the time in Hebrews. And I just wonder if this isn't a warning for us as well. This is dangerous territory to be in. If we turn the pages back a couple chapters, we see the word hearing is used. In 4:2, it says, the word that they heard, the word of hearing, did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those that heard. So the word of hearing, it was of no use to them. They heard it and it did nothing for them. We almost see the principle or the parable that Jesus speaks about, the casting of the seed. It falls on soil and it can't germinate. There's something there. There's a hearing in the physical sense. But when the word goes in, it's met by something hard. It's met by something that the author of Hebrews says has become resistant. It's become dull. It wasn't always this way. At one point, it took it in with joy. And at this point, there's a hardness there. And I think sometimes it's just got to stick your fingers inside. Is there something hard there? Is there something going on? Is there a condition of my heart that just doesn't receive this and doesn't receive it with joy? And it's certainly not coupled with a faith that is pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently or earnestly seek him. See, a lot of vibrant words this morning. A lot of synonyms and antonyms. Sometimes the best way to understand a word is to understand its opposite. And we see that the opposite of dull or sluggish is diligence in chapter 6. Imitators who diligently, through faith, receive. We see something active, it's vigorous, it's effective, it's earnest, it's sincere, it's intent, and it's diligent. We see the word dull, sluggish, lazy, passive, unresponsive, inactive, stagnant. And if you were to be completely honest with yourself this morning, what list best describes your pursuit? I can't answer that for you. How are our ears this morning? Had my uncle Rich from North Carolina come up and visit this past month, and we had him over for dinner, and it was a great time. We had Nick and Danelle in there. And my three nieces and nephews, and they were over along with my five kids. And man, we had a great dinner. And I just never forget the look on his face. He said, man, is it always this loud in your house? He couldn't believe it. He laughed. And I remember thinking, and Nick was thinking the same way. This is how it is. And I realized I'd become dull to that. I couldn't even hear it anymore. I become so used to it that it didn't strike me. And if that was the word of God, I'd be in big trouble. The writer continues in Hebrews 5:12. He says, for though this time you ought to be teachers, and you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk again and not solid food. You see, it's the state of these Hebrews' maturity that the writer is able to conclude that these Christians have become dull of hearing. See, the spiritual evidence of dull hearing is given here. Failure to mature. Failure to mature concludes that there is dull hearing. I remember going to a high school reunion. I went to a small high school, and they had an all-school, all-classes reunion down at North Beach. And I remember showing up, and it was quite a large crowd. You sort of sift through the crowd and recognize some underclassmen that you attended with. And we sort of found ourselves at a table large enough for all of us to be at. And I realized that it was just me and one other guy from my graduating class. And that was it. And I had the largest graduating class at the time at Walden. I think it was like 72, 74 of us. It was the largest class at that point that Walden had ever graduated. And it was just me and one other guy. And I just remember asking him. I was like, where do you think everybody is? And I'll never forget it. Without batting a lash, he said, I'll tell you where. He says, they're embarrassed to show up because it never amounted to anything. And I couldn't believe that. I remember thinking about that. There was an embarrassment to show up. There was a reason they didn't show up. They didn't want to show up. Because they didn't amount to anything. They didn't mature. They didn't become adults. Maybe not all of them. Probably not all of them. But there's a lot of them that were still living in the area. And it wasn't like they didn't catch wind that there wasn't a reunion going on. And I just remember that struck me. And I think maybe that's the reason why some of us don't attend church functions. I think some of us perhaps are a little bit self-conscious that we haven't matured the way we ought to have. And so I think maybe there's a reluctance to attend a small group or a Bible study or a prayer meeting, the chance that you be called on to share something. You feel that you'd reveal the fact that you're still a babe. That was me. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, I look at how beautiful a baby is. My niece Victoria is one of the cutest babies I think I've ever seen. But just imagine the picture of a baby nursing on a bottle. You know, it's a good thing. You know, it's a healthy thing to see. An 8-month-old nursing on a bottle. A 38-year-old nursing on a bottle is disgusting. Right? It's disgusting. And so, I don't know, maybe you just needed an imagery of that. So, all right, how do we do this then? How do I get big and strong? The answer is actually not really what you think. We take a look in Hebrews 5:13. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature. I'm going to stop right there for a second. We might be inclined at this point to conclude that the problem here is a diet of milk, and that what we need to mature then is a diet rich in rich, solid food. And that's not it. And so we dive deeper into some spiritual topics like eschatology, dispensationalism, systematic theology, presuppositional apologetics, thinking that with this meat, I'll grow big and strong. And some of those are meaty topics. Some of those are weighty topics. But that's not what's being implied here either. You see, the reason why the author couldn't speak on weightier topics is because they couldn't digest weightier topics. And I think there's a pursuit of intellectualism. In order to grow deeper, I need to be more informed. I need to pursue this higher level of intellectualism. And I was reading a little bit about Spurgeon, said that he got most of his theology from the housemaid, who was totally uneducated and never went to school. And I look at the work that God used in that man. And it wasn't from university, it wasn't from the educated, but it was from a housemaid who walked in the Word. So what do I eat then? Milk. Milk. That's what you need this morning. We need milk. In fact, 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave for the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow in it respect to salvation. You need milk. You're thinking, I'm all turned around now. You're just saying that the problem was that all I can drink is milk, and you're saying that milk is the solution. What's going on? And let me tell you, the problem isn't that the milk is bad or that babies can't eat meat. Okay? I think we're at a crux here. And the issue is what you're doing with the milk. Crave the milk. Do you crave it this morning? Do you cry when you can't get it? Do you throw fits like a baby because you need it? Is your heart stirred this morning? I need it. I gotta have it. It's the only way I'm gonna grow. Or are we nursing on soda and empty juices that don't provide the nourishment that our spiritual souls need to grow? I want you to look at the last half of the sentence in verse 14, because this is critical here. It says, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Who because of practice... Here we learned what maturity is and how it's gained. Who here would like to continue in growing in maturity? We learn exactly what it is, and we learn exactly how it comes to be. Maturation comes through practicing or simply living out the Word of God. Another word here would be obedience or abiding. You want to grow? You want to be big and strong physically? Look, I'll tell you what. You think the kingdom of hell is worried about a group of kindergartners that can barely open their Bibles and know what verses to turn to? You think they're worried about that? Or do you think a group of mature, trained soldiers in Christ that know how to rightly divide Scripture, what do you think terrifies him more? We got to grow up here, guys. We've got to grow up. Maturity comes through living out the Word. Live it out. You know enough. There's nothing that I'm going to tell you today that you haven't heard. All right? I don't possess the intellectual prowess to go super deep with a lot of you, okay? All right, I'm a high school grad. Amen. You know all you need to know. All you have to do is live this out. Live it out. Walk this out. Abide in his word. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Any lovers of Jesus today? Just follow my word. He says a couple verses later in 23, he says, if anybody loves me, he will keep my words, and the Father will love him. Oh my gosh. How's that not, how does not grab you? Man, that I can love my Savior and that he's gonna love me back. He's just saying, look, just make this easy. Just do as I say. I see this in my house often. It's just a list of rules or expectations that I want the kids to follow. And it's funny how so many of them are willing to give me sacrifice, but not obedience. Dad, I cut the lawn today. You didn't pick up your room. That's great. You went and did some things. It's not what I asked you to do. I went and I picked up the front yard and I put all the bikes away. You treated your brother and sister like trash. How can I be excited about that? I think so many of us are willing to give the Lord some form of sacrifice here, but just not walk the harder and more narrow path of just obedience. Look, that'll come. That'll come. All right? That'll come. Just abide in my word. Just do as I say. That's it. And it's so simple. James 1:22 says, prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in all that he does. I don't know if you guys caught that. You know, that was one of the first verses I think I got around to memorizing. It's easy. It's always a hit in a Bible study or a Bible memorization thing. That's kind of how I cut my teeth in it. Is I went to a group and all we had to do was just we memorized a verse and we came and we just said it. And I just found, you know, that the verse, the promises are true. Man, that they would hide my word in your heart that I would not sin against you. Listen, these assignments that we give to memorize scripture, it is so important here. But listen, hearers of the word and so deceive themselves. Isn't it interesting that there's a level of deception that enters us when we merely hear it? That somehow you can be convinced that everything in your life is going okay. You're just hearing it. And the hearing that we see here is passive hearing. It's not active listening. It's just, it's a nodding of the head. Yes, that's right. I hear a lot of that on Sunday mornings. Amen. Preach it. Absolutely. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just wonder does all that change the second we get in the parking lot? All we have to do is just live this out. Don't be a hearer today. If nobody said another amen for the rest of this sermon, I'm fine with that. If we just do this, just do it. I said no more amens. Obedience then leads to maturity, and finally, a maturity that leads to wisdom. This is the same request of Solomon that pleased the Lord. If you guys remember back to 1 Kings 3:9, it says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people that I may be able to discern between good and evil. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind. Anybody in need of that right now? Anybody struggling to find the right words to say in a messy situation last week? Anybody really struggling to find the right approach of how to deal with a difficult personality in your life at work? Anybody really searching for some things to say to some of the people that are walking through life with a world mindset? Just like, man, I just wish I knew what to say. Listen, he said, he offers wisdom freely to those who ask. He freely gives to those who ask. But let me ask you this. Could it be possible then that the reason we lack so much in this area is because of disobedience and passivity? If wisdom is gained through abiding in God's word, to not follow it, wisdom is not obtained. Could it be that the reason that we're having a hard time understanding some of the weightier things of Scripture is because of some sketchy things we're deciding to tune into on Netflix? Maybe that's what's holding us back here. Could it be the reasons that we can't wrap our brain around some of the deep theologies of Romans chapter 9 and the sovereignty of God? It's because we're engaged in some questionable business practices right now. Or maybe you're spending too much time and money on yourself and not doing enough to serve others. See, if we're to draw that conclusion that obedience leads to a discerning spirit, I think it's possible then that our heart has become deceived by being a mere hearer of the word. If we go back to the beginning of Hebrews, it means we may be in danger of falling away and not entering his rest. Jesus warns in 8:18, Luke 8:18, he says, therefore, take heed how you listen. Be careful how you hear. He said, for whoever has, to him will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he thinks he have will be taken from him. Some of us might be on that verge of just that little bit of distance. That heart has just become a little bit rigid. Our hearing has become dull. We're slipping into a dangerous territory that the writers of Hebrews admonished the Christians at his time. It says, watch out. Is it possible that we become dull of hearing? You recognize a lack of maturity in your walk that you should have by now. Maybe you feel like the one mentioned in 2 Timothy, the man who's always learning but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. I felt like that. A reading and reading and hearing and attending and sermon after sermon after sermon. It's nothing. Listen, I believe the Lord is calling this church out. I believe that. I believe he desires to do amazing things. And he's got incredible plans for each and every one of us. I believe that 100%. I wouldn't be up here. I believe he's given giftings to each and every one of us. I feel like a lot of us have bought into this lie that you're not, you can't do it. You're not sufficient. You lack things, therefore you can't participate. And maybe that posture has just led you to a dullness right now. I want to challenge you out of that this morning. Right now, I just want to call you out of that. Right now. Listen, you can't trust your heart on this one. All right? It says the heart is deceptively wicked above all things. Okay? If you're a professing Christian and believer in Christ, and this letter was written to professing believers in Christ, at some point we have to be willing to ask ourselves a question. Is it possible that I'm the one that he's talking about? And I'm not saying that to attack anybody here. I'm saying that to move us and to stir us into something deeper, into something more, into being hearers that receive the word with joy and it comes inside me and it hits a tender heart. And through faith and trusting in God, through diligent and earnest pursuit of Him, that God brings forth a fruit of a crop of righteousness. God doesn't need able people, He needs willing people. All you have to do is be willing. I am the testimony of that this morning. If there is one thing you can get, if God can use me this morning, He can use you to do greater things. I was the definition of this verse 15 years ago. I just remember the Lord just at one point, it's like my hearing had gotten so dull, and I heard it a little bit. I heard, and if you hear it just a little bit, don't let that go. You don't want to enter into a position where your heart has now become so hard that you can't receive. He says in Romans, He turns you over to those desires. Oh, that the Lord would turn us over to the passions of our flesh, and we would fail to enter His rest this morning. If I could call the worship team back up. I don't want to belabor this, but I think this is important. I believe there's some response that should probably happen here. If you want to do that in your seat, that's fine. If you want to come up, you've been hit by this. You've been hit by this the way this hit me. Again, this is as much to do with what God has done and is doing in my life as it is for any one of you here. But oh, that He would save us from dull ears. Oh, that He would save us from a dull, sluggish heart that has let His word just become an old humdrum in the background. That preaching and teaching, that His word, that studies just become muzak in the back. They just become events that I attend, but certainly nothing that I do and live out. And for those of us that are struggling, you just know, man, I'm a 30-year-old babe in Christ. I'm just not okay with that. You shouldn't be okay with that. The writer is saying that you should be teachers. He comes back to a church that was planted years ago to find the same people in the same grade. It'd be like somehow finding your eighth grade class. They're all still in eighth grade right now. Thinking, what in the world happened? You guys should be teaching this class by now. Look, I say this to some very seasoned men and women of God who I think right now need to step up. The Spirit of God is calling you out of your seat. We can't do this like this anymore. The time for passivity, the time for dull hearing has to be over. And there's a warning here. I'm not the one saying it. I'm not the one telling you, be careful lest you fail to enter His rest. Spirit of God is saying that. There's some dangerous territory I think some of us might be treading on right now. There's some things that we're listening to at home. There's some things that we're watching. And it's just, it's causing us to become infants again. And I pray that that's not the case. And I want you guys to just respond to that. You don't have to come up, but maybe you need to come up. Maybe that's the first step you need to take. And say, you know what? I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I've never done anything uncomfortable in my life. And I'm going to do it this morning. Yeah, you know what? People are going to watch you. You know what? And there are some, because I was there thinking, oh boy, what's going on in their life? You know what? At some point, who cares? Really, you're more worried about sitting there than coming down here and getting things right with your Maker. Don't let that happen. But here, before I give an opportunity, I believe God is calling this church at this season right now into a holiness movement. I'm telling you right now, we need to live out Hebrews 12:1. It says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that clings to us. I'm telling you right now, there's some things that are going on in your lives. You know what they are. I don't. I'm not judging you for it, but I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God is trying to do a work in you right now. And he's saying, you need to cast this stuff off. Throw it off. He's not talking about diligently setting something down. All right, if you want to get something in your life, you want to get it out of there. You don't conveniently go put it in the upper cabinet in the kitchen. No. That's not what he's saying. He's get it off. Get it out of your life. Later on in Hebrews 12:12, it says, therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet. We need to do that. We're tripping and stumbling over some stuff, guys. It says, get this stuff out of here. It says, make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness. Strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. That is our pursuit. Let's pursue holiness and righteousness and see if he doesn't bring upon us a maturation that no university on this planet could graduate you from. Let the Spirit of God train you in all ways. He's the teacher. He's the helper. But if you want to come to him, if you want to be filled by him, you can't be so filled with yourself. So I'm going to pray over us. And if you feel the need to just get up and just come down, I just encourage you to do that. I'm aware of the time. But listen, the time is now. All right? The time is now. Let's not leave here. Let's not leave here with some unresolved things going on in our lives. All right? I'm telling you, at some point, he says he turns you over to a debased mind. He turns you over to the passions and desires of your flesh. Is that where you want to be? Really? He says, look, I'm going to let you have it. Everything you want, you're going to get it. So if you hear something this morning, if there's a tenderness, if there's something right now, he's saying, come out of that, please. I want to heal you. I want to strengthen what remains. Your feeble and weak knees, the lame feet that you're walking around with, he says, I'm going to heal them. Don't walk out of here without getting this taken care of. And I'm telling you what, when we get home, let's get our lives right. Let's get this stuff out of our lives. Let's stop playing around. Let's stop playing around with sin and destruction. Let's stop playing around with the tools that Satan has fashioned to tear our families apart. Get this stuff out of here.